That's Art Stapleton, covers the New York Football Giants for the record. Art, we heard from Pat Shermer and Dave Gettleman this morning. Let's keep it basic. What were your major takeaways from talking to them at the podium and off to the side?
Well, you know, I mean, we talked to him at the podium. Then we had Pat back here on a table separate with the beat. Then we had Dave out in the hallway. So there was a lot of talking going on between Dave and Pat.
Yeah, but they didn't give you the pick.
Well, and that's the thing. Well, that's because you haven't revealed it yet, Paul. I said this about Dave Gettleman that, you know, as soon as he started talking about, he was asked about the running back situation. And, you know, obviously last year in Carolina, he picked Christian McCaffrey 8. So the idea of the value of a running back, and could you take Saquon Barkley?
The quote, devaluing the running back position is comical,
right,
was his quote.
Well, the point, and then out on social media, as soon as it went out, the idea was, well, it's Dave Gettleman's smokescreen that the Giants want people to think that they're taking a running back, and they're not. Well, the reality is Dave Gettleman, from what I've seen previously but also today, it's a very hard for him to not be as transparent as possible. he's not a smokescreen guy.
Oh, no, he's very direct.
He's pretty direct.
Yes.
So if he didn't believe that they were going to take a running back or they had a chance to take a running back, I think he would have done that. So this is the time of lying season and everyone else. But I really didn't get that sense from the Giants. I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, we can get into different specifics, but the bottom line, the big takeaway I took away from Gettleman and Shermer is the fact that, you know, look, we all play part of fantasy drafts and we do mock drafts. The reality is that the New York Giants, as constituted, will walk into draft night with the number two pick, and they will have their choice of two people in this entire draft, and they have to have a conviction about one or the other to be the guy for them. And that's it.
And it could be any position.
And it could be any position.
Unless they trade out.
Absolutely. But my point is that they can go into this combine and say, you know what? We like a little chicken. We like a little steak. But we really love the fish. You know what? Pretty good chance that the fish is going to be there at number two. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of how they're approaching it. And both Gettleman and Shermer said, we don't have a pecking order. I asked Gettleman specifically, do you have a list that you haven't shared with anyone of your pecking order? You know, the top five that you're really coming here to look. And he said no. He said he believes to do everything by his playbook. And his playbook is to do the evaluation. And I think he said you can't cheat the process.
Yep, right.
And I think that's a major factor for him. As far as Pat Shermer goes, he said there are some quarterbacks that he likes, some other players that he likes, but he's obviously not going to reveal it to us.
All right, one of the other positions that I think Dave Gettleman mentioned earlier today as well, besides running back being undervalued by so many people, is the offensive guard spot, which so many people say you can't take one, for example, at number two, where Quentin Nelson is getting some play.
Or spend $1 million on them in free agency, whatever. Same deal.
So how did you take that response?
It's funny because my six takeaways from Dave Gettleman plug just posted on NorthJersey.com, and one of those was guarded optimism. And I exactly what you said, Paul. One of his points, because he was asked about, can you pay a guard $12 million a year? And it was actually from, I think it was one of the reporters who covered him in Carolina who asked the question, obviously with intent about Andrew Norwell. Mm-hmm. The guard, the star guard that has been speculated as a Giants target in free agency. And Gettleman pointed out the Saints and how they have Andrews Pete at one guard spot. They signed Larry Warford at another spot, and how, you know, no quarterback wants to walk in the huddle and go, okay, guys, come at me up the middle. So he made a very pointed.
Especially one who can't move.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Eli is the quarterback, right? I mean, we have
yes.
that clear now. It's
yes.
been 3 months. Eli Manning will be the quarterback for the Giants, we think. But so
you had to put the weak pick in there, didn't you, Hart?
I think the big thing for me about what he said about the guards is that essentially how I took it was, hey, guys, if we decide we want to go after Andrew Norwell and pay him $12 million a year, we're paying him $12 million a year because we think he's going to help us and he's a phenomenal player at that talent.
And the market's the market. We don't determine it.
Yeah, I think he said if you don't think that car is worth $150,000, well, if someone buys it.
It is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So I could foresee a situation where the Giants do not shy away from drafting Quentin Nelson at two or maybe a trade back to five or six, even though, you know, because there is this idea of the, if you put that price tag on Norwell, then you won't draft a guard. What I come away with Dave Gettleman today saying, you know what, he would have no problem putting his two best offensive linemen, one at left guard, one at right guard, and away we go.
And you know why I agree with you? Because Dave Gettleman doesn't care about perception.
Yeah.
He cares about reality
and
what it is that he has to do to get this team back on a winning track. He's not interested in what other people say.
And look, that mentality could get you into trouble sometimes. You know, that you could fall into a situation where you overdraft a guy and maybe you could have made prudent. But the difference is that, you know, in years past when former general manager Jerry Reese was criticized for not maneuvering in the draft, for accruing assets and being able to move up or down, the difference is that you are at number two. This is a different ball game. And Gettleman has continuously brought up the idea, and so has Pat Shurmur, that the last time the Giants picked second, they picked a Hall of Famer.
It's Lawrence
Taylor.
The
greatest player in franchise history in Lawrence Taylor. So Gettleman, that was another part of what Gettleman said at the podium today.
And by the way, Shurmur did too. Like he said,
he
Banks at
too.
Three. There seemed to be a real unity of message when it came to finding that generational player. Now, Shurmur said, the guy's in the draft. You just got to figure out which guy it is.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, it's interesting because we obviously got a lot from Pat Shurmur today too. But Dave Gettleman just has that way about him that, you know, as a general manager, I mean, he's out in front. He's kind of putting this whole thing together. You know, it's funny, Pat Shurmur left us and he goes, all right, guys, see you in April. You know, that's kind of Pat's mentality. But what I was going to say is Gettleman left no doubt that if they the player they take at two, if they take a player at two, he expects that player to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, you're setting that standard up. You know, it goes back to the idea of can you take a player at number two who's not going to take the field this year? And that would come back to quarterback. You know, can you take a franchise quarterback? And Gettleman said, well, look, I'll take a guy there if I believe that he's going to be our next Eli. You know, I'll take that guy.
He said you have to take that guy.
He said, I know I'm going to get another 10, 15 years out of him.
Yeah.
I'll take him and let him sit for a year or two. But the bottom line is I do believe that Gettleman has – I think he has an idea as to what players he likes, but I do think he is going into this with kind of a clean slate and a blank slate. I don't know if the coaches can say the same thing. I think the coaches have kind of the apples of their eye, but I don't believe that Dave Gettleman does.
Yeah, I agree.
One other thing that Dave Gettleman said, which really echoes what George Young said many years ago, it's amazing because Dave Gettleman did not work for George Young,
right,
but he is so similar. The quotes are almost verbatim to the kind of stuff George used to talk about, is that you have to go through free agency, and then when you get to the draft, you can't go into the draft saying, I must take blank position.
Yeah.
You've got to fill those must-need positions in free agency before you get to the draft.
Yeah, you know what, and I'll say this. The last month or so, you know, we've seen a lot of speculation. You guys have dealt with it. We're dealing with it on a beat writer basis. The bottom line is this is a new era for the Giants. And as much as we want to talk about George Young and his philosophy and the idea that, you know, it's the Giants' way and John Mara and Steve Tisch have their way of what they want, this is our first chance to see a Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur draft. So everything that we've known from a Jerry Reese, Mark Ross draft is kind of out the window.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting to see how everyone takes things. Now, I know you're a big proponent of trading down, and initially I'm not, because I don't think you can get too cute, as Dave Gettleman said today. You know, he's open to trading. If someone, I think he said, you know, pulled a little Michael Corleone and said, if someone comes to me with an offer I can't refuse, well then I'll be open for business.
Hey, and if the price isn't right, I wouldn't trade it either.
But you don't move away. And I really get the sense from Gettleman is the idea that, you know what, if I got a player in this draft that I love and thinks is going to make my team better for the next 10 years, I don't care if you think I should take him at 7. I'm taking him at 2. And that would be – and that's me paraphrasing what Dave Gettleman has said.
He will follow his conviction.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. He will do that.
So I think – you know, and going forward, I mean, I think a kind of a lost story in this whole thing about the quarterbacks, and we've all written about it, the Ernie Accorsi falling in love with Eli Manning, pounding the table for Eli Manning back in 2004. And I had a chance to ask Dave Gettleman about that, and I'll end up writing a story later on this weekend. How, as a general manager, do you get to that conviction to the point
where
it is your guy? I mean, Ernie Accorsi, nailed it for the Giants.
He did.
And if he didn't.
He did.
And what, you know, you never ask the question, what if you went wrong? What if it didn't work? And I think that's part of, Dave Gettleman's not afraid to fail, mm-hmm. but I do believe that there is a part where he's got to get to a point. I don't know what his limit is. I don't know where the threshold is where he goes from, I kind of like that guy, to I'm all in. And I think that's where the Giants have to go for, if they're going to take
the point of no return.
Right. Exactly.
Final question, Art. I heard more questions today about a backup quarterback than I've ever heard in the history of the New York Football Giants since I've been covering since 2007. But it's understandable.
Geno Smith?
Yeah, no, not Geno Smith.
Sorry.
A lot of Davis Webb questions.
Yeah, where's he going to sign?
And the sense that I got is that, yeah, they liked some of the stuff they saw when he was coming out of college. Everything he's done around the facility, people have liked. He's well-liked in the building. They think he could become a really good quarterback. However, I also got the sense that what they think of Davis Webb is not going to affect what they do in the draft if they really do believe in one of these quarterbacks. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the presence of Davis Webb will preclude them from taking a quarterback if they fall in love with someone in this draft, whoever
right.
it may be. But what I do think is interesting is that we all need to look at this as a situation that Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur and the coaching staff is essentially treating Davis Webb as if he were part of the class of 2018. They need to take
this,
whatever scouting report they put together for Davis Webb over the last month and a half, and from whatever they can scour. They talked about watching practice film and watching preseason film and going back to their reports when he was in the draft. You know, Pat Shurmur talked a lot about remembering scouting Davis in college, and they had, you know, he was on their list in Minnesota, whereas Gettleman, they weren't looking for a quarterback,
right.
so they really didn't spend much time on him. But I do think that over the last month and a half, Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur, et al., have put together a scouting report of Davis Webb. And now that scouting report will go up against the Darnolds and the Rosens
yep.
and the Mayfields and the Allens and everybody else. And if they decide through all of their evaluation that Davis Webb is a better prospect than the other guys that they have, I think they'll go in another direction.
Yeah, or,
I'm not saying
yeah.
it is, mm-hmm. but I think really that's kind of where they're going to look.